الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, probably all of us are well aware of the fact that the very first verses of the Holy Quran to be revealed are the first five verses and ayat of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. From childhood days, we all have learned and we are aware and we have the knowledge that the very first verses that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. But what was the last verse, the final verse to be revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to his demise from this world? Imagine the verses that came down, and after a long period of time, so many verses had come down, discussing different ahkamat, laws, regulations. There were different causes for verses to be revealed, which we term as sababun nuzul. Allah instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah guided this ummah. And right in the end, the last verse, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Allah reminds us again of the final day, the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا, and fear that day, تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, when you will be returned before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Every soul shall be paid and given back for whatever it earned. And no person will be oppressed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this verse. Allah chose this particular verse as the last final verse to be revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Because ultimately, our passing in this world, and finally we will then be raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of reckoning, the day of hisab. It is not an easy day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran, in Surah Hajj, in the beginning verses, Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhan nas, uttaqu rabbakum, inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un azim. Verily the convulsion, the quake, the shaking of the day of Qiyamah is shay'un azim. It is a very grave and very serious matter. To understand the terror on the day of Qiyamah, the horrifying events on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Imagine a mother carrying her little baby. She is breastfeeding this child of hers. In this world, a mother who is breastfeeding her child, no matter what the danger may be, She will never forsake and abandon the child. She will be prepared to sacrifice her own life to save that child. But on the day of Qiyamah, يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Because of the terror of Qiyamah, she will actually become absent-minded, negligent about her child. She will abandon her child, the child who she was clinging onto. وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. Every woman who was pregnant, who is pregnant on the day, she will abort her child. The child who any mother aspires, that life that she is carrying within her, that she will give birth to this child, that bubbly child, on the day of Qiyamah, because of the fear of Qiyamah, because of the horrifying events of Qiyamah, that mother who will be pregnant will abort her child. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. Without taking any intoxication, without taking any intoxicant, without being intoxicated, without being drunk, Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. You will see people to be as though they are drunk. Why? وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, it will be very severe on the day. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تُدْنَ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The sun that you and I see, it will be lowered above the heads of the people on the day of Qiyamah. Sulaim, who is one of the narrators of this hadith, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word al-meel, meel, in Arabic, meel. He says, I am not sure whether Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to meel being 1 mile, a couple of kilometers only. Or does he refer to a meel referring to a stick of the surma? When a person applies surma to his eye, then he has a little stick which he places into the bottle. How small and how tiny and how short that surma stick is. He says, perhaps it is just that 1 meal in Arabic, referring to the surma stick, that the sun will be lowered just above our heads. To the extent that people will be perspiring profusely, according to the actions and misdeeds in this world, some, the perspiration will reach their ankles, ila al-ka'bain. Some towards, up till the knee. Some till the hips, ila hiqwayhi. Some the perspiration, can you imagine? The perspiration level is increasing, going higher and higher. Coming right to the shoulder of the person and even going beyond that. Uljimahu. Coming right till his lips, bridling him, and some even above that. My respected brothers and elders, the purpose of mentioning this is to bring our minds, to alert ourselves that Qiyamah is a reality. And every one of us has to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day, Allah's wrath will be extremely severe. However, there will be many people who will be under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Various categories of people have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we will discuss just one particular hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi and many other muhaddithin. Is recorded by them, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, where he says, سَبْعَةٌ سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Imagine, I explained to you just not even a glimpse of the condition of Qiyamah. And there'll be the sun hovering above our heads. But on that day, Allah will be giving shade. Allah will be giving shade to certain categories of people. And there will be no shade on that day besides the shade of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Imamun Adilun. A just ruler. A ruler of any country. It is his duty to see to the needs of his people, his citizens. To rule with justice, with fairness, equality. There must be no oppression, no cruelty, no favoritism, no nepotism. It's not that he has some family relationship with some person, some bond, that he puts that person in position. Oh, if that person has done wrong, then he overlooks his mistake and his offense and he pardons him. He turns a blind eye. No. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, justice prevailed. Before his time, in the time of Jahiliyyah, there was oppression. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought justice. Islam brought justice in the world. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. In the 14 juz of the Holy Quran, and we hear this verse on many occasions in the Jummah khutbah. Uthman bin Mad'un رضي الله تعالى عنه, he was being attracted, inclined toward Islam, but he didn't have the courage to come forward to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and proclaim his Islam until he heard the verse which I narrated now. Which I quoted now, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Verily Allah commands justice, وَالْإِحْسَانِ, and kindness, وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and giving, helping the family, relatives, people who are close to you. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits immorality and evil actions and oppression. He says, when I heard this verse. In this verse, there are three do's and three don'ts. That's not my topic. But just for us to understand, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala was attracted even more to Islam, and this became the means of him accepting Islam. Why Allah talks about justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands us that we have any person's amanat by us, somebody entrusted us with some possession of his, then we have to give him back when he asks for his trust. And when we rule, we should rule with justice. So any king, any ruler of any country, it is his obligation to be honest, to be upright, to be fair. And if there is fairness, there is equality, then you will have peace in that country. In the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, it's a lengthy incident. When a non-Muslim emissary comes to see, and he comes to meet Umar, he heard about this great ruler. So when he goes, he looks and searches for Umar, thinking that he may be living in a huge palace. But to his utter shock, he is shown a man under a tree, fast asleep. He says, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is our ruler. He cannot understand, he cannot comprehend. Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the entire Muslim empire, sound asleep under a tree, he's got no bodyguards. He says, Adalta Fanimta. Because you were just, you were able to sleep, sound asleep. You have nothing to fear. Perhaps you and I may be wondering, we may never become a ruler of any country. The commentators of this hadith say that all of us are imams and leaders in our own world. A father is a ruler in his house. An amir of an organization, of an institution, a principal, he is also a leader. We have leaders of communities. Each one of us is a leader in some time, at some time of his life. He has people under him. And Islam teaches us to be just. إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عَلَىٰ مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ. Besides having the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are true rulers and rule with justice, they will have pulpits made of noor and light. Then Rasulullah says, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The second person. A youngster, a youth, who grows up in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite all the temptations he is confronted with, despite his egos and his passions And we know the egos and passions of any youngster. He's in the prime of his life. He does not have that type of experience that the elderly have. He has not gone through the mill as yet. Very easily, he can become enticed. And with peer pressure upon him, he can become influenced. But this youngster spends his youth in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we see many a young person in our masajids. In our masajid, find him frequenting the masjid and engrossed in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would join those people who will take them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would be bothered and concerned as to the environment that they are studying in. That how could I perfect my salat and how could I be punctual on my salah? And how could I stay away from an evil environment and from evil company? وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That youngster who spends his youth in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a youngster, he will also be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, to be able to have or to nurture such a youngster, the environment that we have to create for him at home as parents, that is also absolutely important. How many a young person complains? He says, I wish to obey him, Allah. But the environment at home, which has been set up by my parents and other family members, is not conducive for me. There's only folk taking place there. I can only hear the blaring music. And the TV is on. I do not wish to disobey my Allah. How many a young girl wants to go into hijab, but she is prevented by her own parents to do so? In the month of Ramadan, we discussed the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, in which we spoke about the youth. The youth who sought refuge in a cave. Why? Because the tyrant ruler was compelling them and forcing them to renounce the iman that they brought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When they had iman and they were prepared to sacrifice their lives for the sake of deen, and how Allah ta'ala protected them. So that youngster who is nurtured in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he on the day of qiyamah, Allah will give him shade under Allah ta'ala's shade. And the third category of people, or the third person, is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That man whose heart is attached to the masjid. The word مُعَلَّق, to be suspended, to be clung onto, to be adhered to. All the time his heart longs to be inside the masjid. Long before salah time, he's already planning to go to the masjid. His life revolves around his salah times. It's not that his salah times, he tries to fit it in somewhere. No. He will set up his curriculum, his timetable. He plans his day according to his salah. First priority to his salah. Whenever somebody is looking for him, where will I find a certain person? You'll find him easily in the masjid. Go in the masjid, you'll find him reading Quran, or he'll be engaged in dua or in salah. Let us ask ourselves that question. Where is our hearts attached to? Our hearts, where are they attached to? To the sports field? To the computer? To our cell phones? To some pornographic material? Rasulullah talks about this person whose heart is attached to the masjid. And therefore he says in another hadith, من غدا إلى المسجد أو راحة. That person who frequents the masjid, morning, evening, he frequents the masjid. Allah Ta'ala prepares for him an entertainment when he enters into Jannah. A special meal, a special istiqbal, as we say. Nuzulan has been mentioned. Allah prepares for him special entertainment and food when he enters into paradise. The fourth type of people are those people who love one another. رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. They love one another, two people, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no ulterior motive, no dunya pursuit. They love one another because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love that they have in their heart. Like how when you go for Hajj, may Allah accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj who are going, and may Allah make it easy and grant them a Hajj mabrur and maqbool. And may Allah take all those who have not as yet gone for Hajj, and Hajj has become compulsory, may Allah make the means for them and give them the opportunity to go for Hajj. When you go for Hajj, and a person who you met first time in your life, probably he's staying in the same hotel or the same group with you, and you become so close to him, you go to the Haram together, Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, the 5 days you spend together, and this bond that has been created, you, that even after Hajj, you still, when you meet him, you still run towards him because he's my Haji bhai. He's my brother who I met. There was no blood relationship. There was no dunya reason that joined us. It was solely for the pleasure of Allah. So when they join, it is for the sake of Allah. When they have to part, it is for the sake of Allah. So the meeting is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and this narration comes in Tirmidhi Sharif, where he says that, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ أُنَاسًا. There are certain people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain creation of Allah Rabbul Izzah, certain people, on the day of Qiyamah, their position will be such, يَغْبِتُهُمْ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَى. In the beginning of the hadith, Rasul says, these people are ordinary people. They're not messengers of Allah. They're ordinary people. But Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, messengers, shuhada, martyrs on the day of Qiyamah, will be desirous of such people. Imagine, messengers and martyrs and pious people will be desirous of having their position. Why? The special spotlight will be put onto them on the day of Qiyamah. Who are these people? Sahaba asked, Ya Rasul, man hum ya Rasulullah? Tell us, who are these people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, qawmun tahabu bi rawhillah. Such people who loved one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commentators say, biruhillah, yani bil Qur'an. Because of Qur'an, the driving force, believing in Qur'an, iman, believing in Allah, love for Allah, will make them love one another. Lahum manabir min nur. They will have pulpits of nur. The faces will be shining. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They will have no fear whatsoever. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, when people will be gripped with fear, Allah will give them freedom from fear. They'll have peace, security, tranquility, serenity. Then Rasul quoted the verse, ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Referring to such people who loved one another for the sake of Allah. Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahmatullahi alayhi, a great tabi'i, he says, دخلت مسجد دمشق. I entered the masjid in Damascus. And when I entered, I see a whole group of people around a youngster, a very handsome youngster. And immediately I was intrigued, who is this person? As I watched people who coming to him with their problems, and then they would depart, he gives them a decision, a judgment, a verdict, and then they would go very happily. So he says that I began to love this person. So I inquired, who is he? He said, he is a sahabi of Rasul Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Last night we discussed the sahabi. From the entire ummah. A'lamu ummati bil halali wal haram. Mu'az ibn Jabal. Rasulullah s.a.w. says that the person who has the most knowledge from my ummah regarding halal and haram is Mu'az bin Jabal. Ulama explain in Al-Isaba, Ustul Ghaba, the biographies of Sahaba in these kitabs, they say that he will be Imamul Ulama on the day of Qiyamah. Mu'adh bin Jabal will be Imamul Ulama, the leader of the Ulama. أو أمام العلماء برتوة أو رتوتين. In a very short distance, like a person takes a spear and he throws it, he'll be just in front of the ulama. So, he says, I began to love this person. I tried to meet him, it was not possible. The next day, he says, Bakkartu, ay hajjartu. I went very early, early to meet him. But when I went, I find that he already had preceded me and he was engaged in salah. So then I waited for him. When he terminated his salah, I go up to him and I tell him, I says, Wallahi, inni la uhibbuka fillah. He says, by Allah, I love you for the sake of Allah. So he says, he grabs me by my collar and he pulls me forward gently. And he says, what, in the name of Allah? Do you take an oath? He says, yes, in the name of Allah. I love you for the sake of Allah. He says, I am not making you take an oath because I'm accusing you, perhaps you're lying to me. But Rasulullah made us take an oath. A very similar thing happened. And he says, that wajabat mahabbati, Allah says, that my love becomes wajib, incumbent, upon whom? Al-mutahabbuna fiyya. Those people who love one another solely for the sake of Allah, not for any ulterior motives. وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّهِ. And those people who sit together for the sake of Allah. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّهِ. Those who meet one another for the sake of Allah. وَالْمُتَبَادِلِينَ فِيَّهِ. Those who spend on one another for the sake of Allah. The hadith is, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will say, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ بِجَلَالِي الْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ فِي ذِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّ. We are those people who loved one another for my sake. Today I will give them shade, but there will be no shade but my shade. He was a person who visits his brother in an qarya, in another village. Allah deputes an angel on his way. Inquire for him, from him. Why is he going there? Allah knows best. Allah wants us to understand and realize that such people who love one another for the sake of Allah alone, what is their position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The angel stops him. Where are you going? He says, I'm going to visit a brother of mine. He says, فَهَلْ لَكَ عَلَيْهِ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تَرُبُّهَا, which simply means, have you given him some favor that now you're going to collect back that favor from him? Have you given him something, you lent him something that you're going to check if that item is okay and safe in his possession? Is it some favor that you are going to take back from him? He says, never. I'm going solely because I love him for the sake of Allah. The angel is instructed by Allah that tell him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّكَ. Verily Allah loves you. كَمَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ فِيهِ. Because you have loved that person for the sake of Allah. Just as you have loved him for the sake of Allah, Allah also declares that he loves you. There are so many other narrations of this nature. And then Rasulullah says that that person who is invited, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That man who is been attracted and invited to fulfill his desire by a woman who is of lineage and position and beauty. One riwayat of Bukhari, ذَاتُ حُسْنٍ وَجَمَالٍ. And the other riwayat, ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ. She's got position. She's got a high lineage. She's a prominent woman and she's extremely beautiful. And there's nothing stopping him from fulfilling his desire. He doesn't have to entice her. She is enticing him. In response to that, what does he say? Inni akhafullah. I fear my Allah. Surah Yusuf, when Zulaykha had shut Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. And she invites him to fulfill his desire. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah. My respected brothers and elders, perhaps we are faced with such situations in our offices, in our colleges, in our schools, in our madrasas, wherever we may be. There's nobody stopping us. At that time, ponder of Surah Yusuf, ponder over this hadith that we're discussing today, and say, Inni أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear my Allah. Such a person will be under the shade of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then Rasulullah says that that person who gives charity, رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ, he gives charity with his right hand. He gives in such a way that his left hand does not even know what the right hand has given. Of course, this is not literally meant, but figuratively, meaning he gives with such ikhlas, such sincerity. He gives sadaqah. Sadaqah can be given openly when the need is to encourage others to give. Perhaps it's a good cause, so they're waiting for the Mawlana or the leader of the community to give something. When they see, yes, he has given, then they all follow. So sometimes it becomes necessary to give something openly. But there is great virtue for a person who gives sadaqah secretly. In such a manner that you're giving with your right hand and your left hand, which is so close, does not know. In other words, nobody knows besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he says, when Allah ta'ala created the world, when Allah created the earth, ja'ala tamidu, it began to shake. There was some imbalance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created those heavy mountains, which Allah talks about in the Quran as awtada, as pegs, to stabilize the earth from shaking. So the earth became stable with heavy mountains upon it. The angels were fascinated, they were amazed. Ya Allah, is there anything greater and more stronger than this creation of mountains? Allah says, yes. What is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, iron, hadid. In fact, Allah has sent down a whole surah al-Hadid in 27 juz. And we derive steel from iron. And man requires the steel to create so many appliances and equipment and buildings. So steel or iron is more powerful than the mountains. And the angels again are fascinated, anything more. Man ashaddu khalqan, who is even more stronger than this, ya Allah. Allah says, yes, there is such a thing as fire. And we know the properties of fire. It will melt away that iron and steel. And the angels again are fascinated. Anything more stronger? Allah says, yes. And that is water. Water extinguishes the fire. And again, when they inquire, Allah says, there is something even more powerful than that water. And that is the reeh and the winds. And when we see hurricanes, and when we see storms taking place, and we see what damages cause. So from that we can understand the power of winds. And the angels say, is there anything besides that? Or more than that, anything else stronger than the winds? So Allah says, yes, insan, when he gives with his right hand, his left hand does not know. And finally, Rasulullah says, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. A man who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude, all alone. In public it is easy, perhaps, to make dua, and everybody is watching us. But when a man is all alone in privacy, and then it becomes difficult for him to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and truly to create that bond. So when he's all alone, now that intimacy, that strong bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into play. When he realizes that Allah is my creator, and Allah is the nourisher, and Allah is the cherisher, and Allah is my Lord. And I've done so many things that I've disobeyed my Allah. And he goes into prostration and he cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sheds those tears. Allah appreciates those tears, and Allah gives such a person shade on the day of Qiyamah, where there will be no shade but his shade. May Allah increase all of us in all the little efforts we are making, but Allah give us these qualities that we have mentioned. May Allah make it a haqiqat, a reality in our life. There's so many things I would love to expound on. Time is exhausted. We've gone beyond time. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.